Hello, hello, everyone. We are live. Today is April 13th, 2026. Welcome to everybody jumping in on this Monday in the United States and around the world. We're so happy to have you with us. A lot going on that we're going to get into tonight, but let's see who's jumping on. I want to say hi to some of you that are always coming into the chat. So let's see. I see Ohio. Hello. God bless you. Clearfield, Pennsylvania, Fort Worth, Texas. God bless all of you. Hello to all of our viewers as well in Texas and Pennsylvania who come on. Albany, New York. Hello to our neighbors in Albany, New York. God bless you. Very happy to have you on with us tonight. Hello to you in the Bahamas. God bless you. Very happy to have you on with us. South Dakota. God bless you. Very happy to have you on. Let's see who else. Williamsburg, Kentucky. And Indiana and Jacksonville Beach, Florida. God bless all of you. Very happy to have you on tonight as well. Let's see. Holbrook, Arizona. God bless you. Mexico City. Hello to our viewers in Mexico City and our international audience that is now beginning to come in and our viewers who are coming in from all around the world. We're very appreciative for you. Puerto Rico. Hello to our viewers in Puerto Rico. God bless you as well. Very happy to have you with us. St. Louis, Missouri. London, UK. Hello to all of our viewers as well in England. God bless you. Very happy to have you on with us tonight as well. I also see, oh, hello, Darvel in Darvel, Scotland. God bless you. Very happy to have our viewers in Scotland coming on tonight as well. Buffalo, New York. Hello to our neighbors in Buffalo. Very happy to have you on. Newport News, Virginia as well. God bless you. And Conroe, Texas. Very happy to have you on with us as well. God bless you. Muskogee, Oklahoma. God bless you. Very happy to have you on. I see Illinois as well. South Louisiana, Oklahoma. God bless all of you. Very happy to have you on with us tonight as well. South Jersey. Hello to our wonderful viewers in South Jersey. Very happy to have you on with us, as well as Massachusetts. God bless you. I see Tucson, West Virginia as well, and North Carolina. God bless all of you. Very happy that you're joining us tonight. I also see Northern California and Monticello, Maine. Hello to all of you. God bless you. So happy to have you on tonight. Hello as well to our moderators, our Ark of Grace team that are on with us. Thank you for helping us do what we do for the Lord. So as usual, we're going to open up a prayer. There is a lot going on. We're watching blockades globally and blockades in Congress, and this is just the time for it. Not surprising, given that we have just endured Passover together. So we're going to get into all of this prophetically. There's some incredible parallels that are running biblically right now and prophetically globally, as well as what we are watching begin to happen in Congress with what has happened with Eric Swalwell. We'll get into that as well. So let's open up in prayer, give this over to the Lord, and then we're going to get into tonight. So Father God, in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, Lord, we come before you this day. We praise you. You are Almighty God. You are high and lifted up, far above every power, principality, and might. Father, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise due your precious holy name. Father, we come before you with thanksgiving and praise, saying, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We come boldly but humbly to the throne of grace, Father God, asking you to forgive us of our sins, cleanse us of all unrighteousness, forgive us of every way, Lord, we sin and fall short. We all sin and fall incredibly short of the glory of God. And we just praise you, Father, that your mercies are new every single day. And we acknowledge you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua, to this earth. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was the sacrifice for our sins. He willingly died at Calvary. He purchased us by the shedding of his own blood. He was beaten for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. And we so apply that blood of Jesus Christ tonight, because it is written, by his stripes, we are healed. And we apply that to ourselves tonight and those who are watching in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, we praise you that at the cross, Jesus Christ disarmed principalities and powers. He blotted out ordinances. he made an open show and spectacle of the enemy before all of creation when he said it is finished. He miraculously rose again. He defeated hell, death, and the grave. He ascended back victoriously to be seated at the right hand of the Father, where he rules and reigns forevermore. He is the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the name above all names, and our advocate without ceasing before your throne. And we honor that before you this day. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we welcome your presence in. The presence of Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of the living God, and the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, into this place. Father, we just welcome the weight of your presence, the truth of who you are, Father, your power, your might, Father, that the conviction and holiness of who you are would mightily move tonight, Father God. Lord, that you would go before us and be our front and rear guard tonight, that you would order our steps, order my words tonight, Father, as we mightily go forth in you. Fill us in the name of Jesus Christ with your wisdom, counsel, might, power, and the reverential fear of the Lord. By the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of the one true living God, may only the truth and power of Almighty God with authority come forth now in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, let nothing pass through my mouth that doesn't pass through your throne first. Lord, allow me and our team the humble privilege, Father, of being vessels of your power. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ you would loose, send, and dispatch your holy angels of all offices, rankings, and divisions to surround the skies, the land, the perimeter, the property, above and below, north, south, east, and west, and to guard against every dimensional access point, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, we take authority over and rebuke, as we apply the blood of Jesus Christ, every plot, scheme, contract, assignment, weaponry, blueprint, attack, strategy, sabotage, hindrance, interference, violence, slander, intimidation, threat, enchantment, smote, Father God, any form of weaponized demonic activity, infirmity, and the like, in the name of Jesus Christ, we command it destroyed by the holy fire of God, dismantled and disabled, thwarted, disrupted, blocked, nullified, voided, disarmed, dismantled, canceled, rendered powerless, and their communication lines disrupted so they cannot carry out their plans. And it casts back to the areas you have designated for such, Father, to be bound there in the name of Jesus Christ and not return or have anything sent in its place. Father, take all the glory for yourself. You are the potter. We are most certainly just the clay. You are the author and finisher of our faith. Every breath we take is because of you, Father God. You are Yahweh. You are the breath, Father God. You are holy. Your word says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Father, we praise you. You have not given us a spirit of fear, for it is written, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind, Father God. Lord, we praise you, Father God, that you bind up, Father God, the wounds of the brokenhearted, Father God. We praise you that you are Jehovah Rapha, our healer, Jehovah Jireh, our provider, Jehovah Nisi, our banner, Jehovah Tsidkenu, our righteousness, Father God, that you are Jehovah Shalom, our peace. Father, we praise you. You are on the highest throne, far above every power, principality, and might, that you weigh the matters of men and nations before your courts, Father God. Lord, we praise you, Father God, Lord, that you, Father, wander, your eyes wander to and fro across the earth, Father God. Lord, we praise you tonight, Father God, for who you are, Father, that you are the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, the first and the last. You are he who liveth and died, and behold, you are alive forevermore, Father. Take all the glory for yourself tonight, Father God. We praise you, Father God, for the time you have allowed us to be alive in, Father God. We praise you, Father God, that before the foundations of the earth were ever laid, that you were. You're the great I am, Father, and we praise you for that tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen and amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome, welcome to everybody who is watching. If you could share this broadcast and like and subscribe, I would very much appreciate it. That is, we're very, very grateful to all of you for that. And so welcome to those of you who are jumping on during prayer. Very happy to have you on with us tonight. I'm just making sure that my voice is good and ready for this, because the epic showdown continues with this blockade. And we're going to get into everything that has happened now with this blockade in the Strait of Hormuz. And we're watching this epic showdown now begin in Congress too. We are watching the time of the showdown. We are watching the time of these blockades. We are watching very biblical events align with scripture that are playing out globally. I don't think that is random that that is happening. So let me get up my notes here, and we're going to prophetically break all of this down for you and what's happening, because the blockade in the Strait of Hormuz took effect at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time today. So we're actually watching a showdown now on the water, and we're going to get into what that means. But how did we get here? We're also going to get into Congress and what is unfolding this very hour in Congress as well. But how did we get here? Well, we over the weekend witnessed these peace talks in Islamabad, Pakistan, where Vice President J.D. Vance and Special Envoy, which included Steve Witkoff, were deployed out to try to negotiate with Ismail, with the Iranians. And I have a picture to show you because I found something fascinating about this. This is the banner that they had up in Islamabad, Pakistan. I want you to look at the symbol that they happen to have up. Yes, we see the flags, and then we see this other design that looks like a dome with a star and a moon. Then you have a dove, which I found fascinating because the dove is the symbol of the Holy Spirit. And I just found it interesting that of all things that could be on this banner, with the parallels we have watched run during Purim and during Passover, isn't it interesting that dove ends up in a place called Islamabad? So of all places in a highly Muslim country, this symbol of this dove happens to end up on their banner. Very interesting. And after 21 hours of talks and negotiations, a peace agreement was failed to be reached. It was 21 hours long, this marathon negotiation. Now, why is 21 so interesting in this? Because in the book of Daniel, the principality of Persia is Iran, the principality of Persia, which stood and blockaded the answer from coming to Daniel for 21 days. So the symbolism in all of this is not lost, that for 21 hours, there was a withstanding, right, to have an agreement. And then suddenly the peace talks fell apart, and now this blockade happens. But of anything it could have been, it's 21 hours. And we see that number 21 represented in the book of Daniel when it comes to the principality of Persia and the amount of time that he literally blockaded the answer from getting to Daniel. So isn't it interesting? We see a physical blockade now in the area of Iran beginning to unfold before our very eyes. Now, let's get into all of this now. So we're going to put up the first article for you. This was yesterday, and we'll get into today's article. Trump says U.S. will blockade Strait of Hormuz and intercept ships that paid tolls to Iran. President Trump said on Sunday that the U.S. Navy will begin blockading ships from entering or exiting the Strait of Hormuz and intercept vessels that have paid tolls to Iran after marathon talks in Pakistan failed to yield an agreement to end the war. Effective immediately, the United States Navy, the finest in the world, will begin the process of blockading any and all ships trying to enter or leave the Strait of Hormuz, the president said in a post on Truth Social on Sunday morning. Mr. Trump also said he has instructed the Navy to, quote, seek and interdirect every vessel in international waters that has paid a toll to Iran, and that the U.S. would begin, quote, destroying the mines the Iranians laid in the straits. Remember, the Iranians said they put mines in the straits, which are explosives, basically to stop ships from passing through. He also said any Iranian who fires at us or at peaceful vessels will be, quote, blown to hell, he added. Okay, he's serious. Now, remember, he's using the strong language because he's dealing with Ishmael. In the scripture, it says, Ishmael is a wild donkey of a man, and his hand is against every man, and every man's hand is against him. So he's speaking in the language of Ishmael right now to a literal wild man. And we have to remember this as we watch his speech unfold in the midst of this. Now, today, the Fox News article, we'll put it up for you. Trump issued naval blockade of Iranian ports in Strait of Hormuz begins. The U.S. Navy imposed a blockade on Iranian ports across the country and in the Strait of Hormuz at the order of President Donald Trump on Monday. President Trump ordered the U.S. Navy to blockade Iran's ports in the Strait of Hormuz. Peace talks between the U.S. and Iran collapsed this weekend with Vice President J.D. Vance departing Pakistan empty-handed. Iran has condemned the U.S. blockade plans as, quote, piracy and vowed to respond with, quote, decisive force, potentially ending a fragile ceasefire with the U.S. Now, I want to play for you a clip from the broadcast I did from April 7th, 2026, and then I'm going to read to you what I said again in the April 9th, 2026 broadcast. I want you to listen very carefully what was said on April 7th, 2026 before this blockade happens. Don't be surprised if one more time this happens and their heart is hardened and one more time they come out with their army and they attempt to assert dominance. This is the way this is going. We are watching the Passover account in a way the parallels of it play out in modern day with this showdown that we are literally watching unfold on Passover. I do not trust Iran either. I don't trust anyone that comes from the line of Ishmael necessarily in their dealings. And so God, Almighty God, did not trust Pharaoh. And that's why Almighty God had a plan at the Red Sea to deliver his people, to challenge Baal at Baal Siphon, and to destroy the Egyptian army at the sea. Don't be surprised either if there is an incident in the next few days at the Strait of Hormuz. Don't be surprised if hearts get hardened and we watch an international incident occur at the Strait of Hormuz. The showdown is happening at a body of water. It is happening over it. We are watching it happen before our very eyes. But do not be surprised, because we're watching this happen and we are watching the wild man Ishmael be subdued. Okay, so that was April 7th. Now, April 9th, 2026, that broadcast, this is what I said. Now, remember, initially Pharaoh conceded and let God's people go. Pharaoh's heart was hardened one more time after the concession, and he came after the people of God at the Red Sea. This is where Pharaoh's power and army were completely destroyed, and there was a lethal prosecution that occurred against them and Baal at the Red Sea. If these current events are running parallel to the Passover account, we may see one more showdown at the Strait of Hormuz, literally or surrounding it, which is what a blockade is. A blockade surrounds and doesn't allow in or out, right? So this is what was said April 9th. We also may see we may see one more showdown at the Strait of Hormuz, literally or surrounding it. We also may see Iranian leadership hardening their hearts one more time and coming out to challenge the concession and challenge the parameters of the original deal. That is what was said April 9th in that broadcast, and the blockade forms after this was warned. Why? Because it's following the parallel of the Passover account, which reached its crescendo at a body of water, the Red Sea in the book of Exodus, and that is where the last battle happens, over a body of water between Pharaoh and Almighty God, right, and Moses, basically, and Baal. And so this battle hits its crescendo over a body of water, and we have watched this build over Passover, and now we've entered that 45-day window between Passover and Pentecost, and now we are literally watching it form on the Strait of Hormuz. We literally now have watched a blockade happen. We are watching the concession be challenged. We are watching Iran harden their hearts again. So they initially conceded on the 7th of April during Passover. And what happens? Just like in the book of Exodus, Pharaoh hardens his heart again. Iran hardens their heart again. And now we are actually watching a showdown happen on a body of water. This is not an accident that we are watching the symbolism and the parallels to the book of Exodus play out after we watched Purim play out in Iran at the end of February, beginning of March. So today is 4/13. April 13th, that's the day the blockade begins. Let me just read to you what Exodus 14, verses 4 through 13 says, because today is 4/13. I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them, and I will be glorified and honored through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians shall know and acknowledge that I am the Lord. And they did so. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his servants had a change of heart toward the people, and they said, "What is it that we have done? We have let Israel go from serving us." So Pharaoh harnessed his horses to his war chariots and took his army with him, and he took 600 chosen war chariots and all the other war chariots of Egypt with fighting charioteers over them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the Israelites as they were leaving confidently and defiantly. The Egyptians chased them with all the horses and war chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and they overtook them as they camped by the sea beside Pi Hahiroth in front of Baal Zephon. Verse 10, as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up and saw the Egyptians marching after them, and they were very frightened. So the Israelites cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, "It is because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness. What is this that you have done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Did we not say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." Verse 13. Then Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Take your stand and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For those Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see again." That is Exodus 14, verses 4 through 13. And today is 4/13. And this blockade begins. The showdown literally on the sea now, in the sea, actually begins. Now, Exodus 14, verses 10 through 12. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up and saw the Egyptians marching after them, and they were very frightened. So the Israelites cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, "Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness?" Right? "What is this that you have done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Did we not say in Egypt, 'Leave us alone'?" Okay, so we went through this. So now what's happening? There is a crescendo coming at the sea. There is a battle coming at the sea. The Israelites are panicking and saying, "Well, why couldn't you just leave, right, us alone in Egypt?" Now, why am I reading that again? Because at this point in the media, we are seeing the outcries of "we should have left Iran alone." We are watching similar outcries go out in the media of "we should have left Iran alone" coming from the conservative woke right, the woke left, and the Iranian regime themselves. I believe you will see something similar continue to be echoed until this is resolved. Because at the sea, the Israelites got to that point and said, "Why couldn't you just leave Egypt alone?" And now we are to that point here where it's like, well, why couldn't everybody just leave Iran alone? Now, Exodus 14, verses 13 through 14. Now, 13 plus 14 is 27, right? Well, it's Exodus 14, 13 through 14. So Exodus 14 plus 13 is 27. 14 plus 14 is 28. So 27 and 28. Just keep that in mind for a minute. Then Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Take your stand and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For those Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you, while you only need to keep silent and remain calm." Exodus 14, verses 13 through 14, because I told you it equals 27 and 28, I believe will become a battle cry. for 2027 and 2028 with the election for the church and leadership. We may even hear these very scripture verses spoken from the White House or surrounding that year of 2027 and 2028, Exodus 14:13 and Exodus 14:14. Now, continuing, Exodus 14:16 through 18. As for you, lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it so that the sons of Israel may go through the middle of the sea on dry land. As for me, hear this. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians and they will go into the sea after them, and I will be glorified and honored through Pharaoh and all his army and his war chariots and his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know and acknowledge that I am the Lord when I am glorified and honored through Pharaoh, through his war chariots and his charioteers. Now, they get to a point where the sea is going to be divided, right? You're going to see a physical division of the sea, and you're going to see an altercation at the sea. Now, what happens at this moment, before this happens? Something happens in Exodus 14, 19 through 20. There's a blockade of sorts that happens. In the book of Exodus, we watch a blockade of sorts take place before the ultimate battle on the sea. Now, how is that? Well, I'm going to read it to you. Exodus 14, 19 through 20 says, the angel of God who had been going in front of the camp of Israel moved and went behind them. The pillar of the cloud moved from in front and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of Egypt and the camp of Israel. It was a cloud along with darkness, even by day to the Egyptians, but it gave light by night to the Israelites. So one army did not come near the other all night. The angel of the Lord moves, gets in between Pharaoh's army and Moses and the people of God, and forms a blockade that Pharaoh and his army can't get through. They're not allowed to pass through it. They can't get through it. And it blocks Pharaoh and his army from being able to pass at that moment. Now, remember, when this blockade of sorts happens, Israel took much of Egypt's wealth with them. So they have Egypt's wealth, and now there is a blockade, right, against Egypt, and Egypt can't come near the sea or the people. What are we watching happen right now? Well, there's a blockade around a body of water surrounding Passover, and that blockade is happening at the Strait of Hormuz, right? Iran said they would view any military vessels or blockade as a violation of the two-week ceasefire and would respond accordingly, which is exactly what Pharaoh did. In the book of Exodus, the angel of the Lord moves into place and forms this blockade while the sea is blown back all night to expose the ground. Now, while this is happening in real time, right now, currently, we are also watching all of these ships apparently be rerouted away from Iran to come to the United States now to get oil. So we are watching a rerouting of the wealth, right? Because what happened with Pharaoh, his wealth was taken. It was put in the hands of Israel and they left with it, right? So they're at the Red Sea. They have Egypt's wealth and there's a blockade going on. Well, what are we watching right now? There's a blockade happening and all these ships are now being rerouted away from Iran, taking their wealth and being rerouted apparently to the United States of America to go pick up and purchase oil. So this is what's going on. And you also, as this is going on, this blockade is happening, you have minesweepers now that have been sent out by the U.S. Navy to find and expose the mines that Iran has planted in the sea. To find and expose what's been planted in the sea. Now, Exodus chapter 14, verses 23 through 28. Then the Egyptians pursued them into the middle of the sea. What happens for a moment? The blockade is broken. So the angel of the Lord then, right, the blockade stops, and Pharaoh now heads into the sea. Then the Egyptians pursued them in the middle of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his war chariots, his charioteers. So the rest of Pharaoh's army, pursues. So it happened at the early morning watch that the Lord looked down on the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud and put them in a state of confusion. He made their chariot wheels hard to turn and the chariots difficult to drive. So the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from Israel, for the Lord is fighting for them against the Egyptians." Verse 26. We're in the year 2026. Verse 26, then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may come back over the Egyptians on their war chariots and charioteers. Stretch out your staff, let the sea come back and destroy the army." So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its normal flow at sunrise, and the Egyptians retreated right into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians and tossed them into the midst of the sea. Verse 28, the waters returned and covered the chariots and the charioteers and all the army of Pharaoh that had gone into the sea after them. Not even one of them survived. Okay, so Exodus 14. The blockade happens at the Red Sea. And after the blockade happens, the next day, the Egyptians pursue Moses and the people into the sea with their whole army. Now there is a battle literally on the sea, and Egypt is coming in to attack the people of God. And this is where Egypt misreads the entire situation and believes Baal has ripped the sea apart for them at Baal Zephon, because according to Canaanite mythology, Baal defeated the serpent god of the sea by ripping it apart. So the Lord sets a trap and a ruse to bait Pharaoh in. Which is interesting, because if you think about the scripture verse, "Be wise as a serpent," which means deceive the deceiver, that's what was happening there. The deceiver was being deceived. Egypt was deceived into believing Baal was fighting for them and were lured into the altercation at sea and misread everything that was happening. And we are watching this Passover, the account of what's happening with Iran running parallel to the events that we saw unfold in the book of Exodus. And now we are watching the showdown on the body of water. This is all culminated now, all come to a crescendo. We're watching the blockade. We're watching the showdown literally happen on the body of water. And we're literally watching it happen during Passover. We have watched Iran give a concession on April 7th, and now we have watched them harden their hearts again, just as Pharaoh hardened his heart after his initial concession. And that is why the battle on the sea even happened, because Pharaoh hardened his heart again, and the angel of the Lord went out and had to put the blockade up to protect the people of God while the sea was blown back. And now we're watching a blockade happen around Passover, and Iran is hardening their hearts, and we're watching a showdown literally happen on a body of water. This is not random that this is happening. This has not happened that random that Iran fell around the time of Purim, the Ayatollah did. These events are not random. We are watching biblical events and breaking points align with nations and its leaders. We are literally watching these events run parallel in this time, in this season globally, that are literally mirroring in some ways scripture. And so this is not an accident. This is happening. This is not odd that the blockade happened on 4:13 in Exodus 4 through 13. 14, 4 through 13 speaks of the entire account of that. I think it's, hold on, I want to make sure I get you the right scripture here. Yep, Exodus 14, 4 through 13 speaks of the entire account of the blockade happening against Pharaoh at the body of water, the battle happening at the Red Sea, and today, 4:13, is when the blockade ensues. These things are not accidents that they are happening this way. They're not in this season, absolutely not. So in this 45-day window we're in between Passover and Pentecost, right? And the showdown actually on this body of water. It's going to be very, very interesting now to watch what happens, because according to Exodus, Pharaoh hardened his heart and he went after the people of God with his army. So he literally went after them, went into the sea with his army. Don't be surprised if you see Iran take the boats that they have left and go into the sea after the United States of America. Don't be surprised if the blockade, they get through the blockade, or somehow the blockade for a moment, Iran ships get through the, what they have left, and you watch now literally their army come into the sea after the United States Navy. Just watch, I'm telling you, because this is all unfolding before our very eyes. Now, so that's number one. That's the blockade globally. Now we're going to talk about the blockade in Congress that is happening with what has happened with Eric Swalwell. So we're going to put up the article for you, because we're watching these happen all over. And then we're watching a blockade with the Department of Homeland Security, right? And that shutdown. Look at all the symbolism for blockades that we have going on around us right now in this time. Okay. Swalwell announces resignation from Congress. This is breaking news. After sexual misconduct allegations torpedoed gubernatorial bid. Swalwell also dropped his bid for California governor after the San Francisco Chronicle published graphic misconduct accounts. Representative Eric Swalwell, the Democrat from California, announced he would resign his congressional seat on Monday on the heels of multiple bombshell reports last Friday that forced him to drop out of a bid to become the next governor of California. I am deeply sorry to my family, staff, and constituents for mistakes and judgment I've made in my past, Swalwell said in a statement. I will fight the serious false allegations made against me. However, I must take responsibility and ownership for the mistakes that I did make. Swalwell also has officially dropped out of the governor's race. Now, we're going to start current and we're going to work our way back here. March 27th, 2026. Word of the Lord. This is what it said. They have created the contempt they have conjured. The agenda of anarchy shall fall upon them in this hour. The heads of the Democratic Party shall be struck in this time for willful defiance. Their tryst shall be exposed. Their whoredom shall be exposed, says the Lord. For the idols they have so committed such acts for shall be upended in this hour and broken off their pedestals, literally, says the Lord. This is the hour of humble pie all the way to the White House, Congress, Parliament, conservative voices, heads of the Democratic Party, world leaders who literally will be caught with their pants down. Who did the Lord say was going to be caught with their pants down, literally? All the way to the White House, Congress, Parliament, conservative voices, heads of the Democratic Party, world leaders who literally will be caught with their pants down and have to step down, says the Lord. Humble yourselves before me, says the Lord God Almighty. Do not overstep and attempt to overtake what I, the Lord, have not given. For those who have heeded to the leading of darkness shall find themselves in the wilderness until they submit fully, says the Lord. Now, this word continues. Thus says the Lord, this is a time of great transition within the administration, a serious time of change and rearranging what was out of order from the beginning, says the Lord. For square pegs were attempted in round holes, and it has caused great pressure from within. The transition shall be great, it shall be public, it shall be what is required for the exposure of the heart conditions of cabinet and justice. That time has come. It has come for Congress, says the Lord. The heart posture shall be exposed. And we are watching this very hour what is unfolding with Congress. This is just the beginning. This is just the beginning for what in this season will come out about Congress members and Supreme Court justices. I'm telling you now, it's just the beginning. Okay, we're going to go to February 16th, 2026. I told you we're going to start from the most current and work our way back here. February 16th, 2026. Congress, says the Lord, A shake-up in this time, for the weight of their crimes are great. For I am raising up out of Congress voices who serve me, who are not easily lured by the delicate dainties of deceit. I, the Lord, am positioning them for the next 2 years, says the Lord. Ichabod has been written upon the areas of Congress where truly the glory has departed. I have withdrawn my hand, says the Lord, in order to force the issue and bring to a head the moles that have been hidden in their holes and whom they truly serve. Foreign interests, foreign currency, and foreign oil deals, says the Lord. Congress shall split, says the Lord, shall split down to the innards that the nation has not seen, but in this time will be exposed to how deep the inner debauchery goes and stretches into areas of the nation that were not known until this time. For I, the Lord, am ordering for my court this day a great sifting of Congress, a great overturning, and a realignment to reset what has been broken and heal what has been infected. For the blackmail, the threats, the manipulation, the witchcraft will be exposed. Witchcraft at high levels in Congress will be exposed nationally, says the Lord, as the secrets of their dark arts shall be brought forth, as well as a coup that has been moving about disguised as other issues. That coup shall rear up in this hour, and it will take the word of the Lord and the strategy of my throne, says the Lord, to quickly put such down. Before an embargo is placed upon Congress and attempts to block the rededication of your nation, says the Lord. Now listen to what he's saying there. Embargo, block. He's starting to use these words, February 16th, 2026, in this word. And we're watching now blockades, right? Form. We're watching these things in the natural happen because of what's on the move in the realm of the spirit. Now, I'm going to say this too. Hold on. I'm going to save this part. There's a part here. I want to go through the words of the Lord first, and then I'm going to talk about this other part with him. All right. December 2nd, 2025. Word of the Lord. A humbling, sobering moment for Congress, greater than the dark cloud of a shutdown. A coup and overthrow. Those who attempt to conceal the truth and protect their friends who have done heinous acts in secret, abominations. If you attempt to protect their seat, you shall be cast out with them, for a great sifting of Congress has begun and shall go through the midterms. The Lord is forcing the issue to bring a broken political system to a head, bound up in greed, lies, deception, manipulations, backroom deals, secret memos, secret orders, and hedonism. November 20th, 2025, word of the Lord. And now such lions from foreign lands who do not know me have taken unnaturalized territory, says the Lord, with the help of Parliament, with the help of Congress, with the help of governors, says the Lord. And for such their portion shall be, they will prematurely step down in shame as their interests are gut wide open and exposed, says the Lord. That was November 20th, 2025. So, this has been warned about, that this was coming to Congress and was going to begin and was going to go through the midterms since last year. And now we are literally watching all of this unfold this very hour in Congress, as Congress is going through its own blockade, as there is a blockade happening at the Strait of Hormuz. We're watching this also happen in Congress. Now, what should our response be with this? Seriously, with Eric Swalwell. Well, let's talk about it for a minute. This man's life has been totally exposed. His governor campaign is over. He has now stepped down from Congress, and he's probably now lost his family. There are three innocent little girls, his daughters, and his wife. We don't know how complicit she is or not, and his wife. But his daughters will see this one day on the internet about their father. They will be able to see this one day on the internet. And he is exposed right now. He's done. He's lost everything. What he sowed against others, what he sowed against President Trump as well, he is now reaping in his own life. That is a fact. However, we as the church are in a unique position to pray that Sauls of Tarsus become Pauls and champions of the gospel, because the one of the best things that could come out of this very, very broken situation and this horror that has occurred is that Eric Swalwell surrenders his life completely to Jesus Christ and becomes a champion of the faith, a whistleblower on his own party that helped turn him into the filth he was operating in. That is one of the best things we could see happen in this. And in fact, I want to go to John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11, because we see a picture of this. We see a picture of how Jesus Christ dealt with something very, very similar. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't be happy that it's exposed. It's exposed. It's all out. We're glad it got exposed, right? But now that it's all exposed and this has been done, what is our response? Okay, John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came back to the temple, and all the people were coming to him. He sat down and began teaching them. Now, the scribes and Pharisees, the religious, right, order of the day, brought a woman who had been caught in adultery. They made her stand in the center of the court, and they said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in the very act of adultery." Did you ever wonder how she was caught if they weren't there? Did you ever wonder how the Pharisees could have caught this woman in adultery if it wasn't one of them in the room with her? Isn't that something interesting to think about? Okay, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in the very act of adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. So what do you say to do with her?" Verse 6, "They said this to test him, hoping that they would have grounds for accusing him. But Jesus stooped down and began writing on the ground with his finger." Verse 7. "However, when they persisted in questioning him, he straightened up and said, 'He who is without any sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her.'" He was without any sin among you. Let him be the first to throw a stone at her. Then he stooped down again and started writing on the ground. They listened to his reply and they began to go out one by one, starting with the oldest ones until no one was left. And only Jesus was left alone with her. And she was the woman was standing in the center of the court. Straightening up, Jesus said to her, "Woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you?" She answered, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "I do not condemn you either. Go from now on and sin no more." That is the part that people leave out of this. He was warning her, "You haven't been condemned now. But from this point, if you keep sinning, you will be. Therefore, go and sin no more." This is in John 8, verses 1 through 11. And who now has been caught in the act of adultery but Eric Swalwell? And who wants to stone him right now? The religious figures of the day. The Pharisees wanted to stone him, and now the religious figures of the way want to stone him. And rightfully so, considering what he did. What he did was heinous. It was wrong. It was of the kingdom of darkness. It broke, you know, it now has destroyed his family. He's got three innocent little girls in this, and it's all out in the open now. His career is over. But it's over. And the Dems, right, the Democrats, who are you know, like the other Pharisees too, are the ones that now are calling, you know, especially for him to be removed. Kind of like the Pharisees in this day were calling the loudest for this woman to be stoned, but they didn't say how they caught her in the act. Because one of them was there. And one of them was committing adultery too. And one of them, at least, was in the room. Now, what should we do with this? What should we do with this? Because, yes, it's a terrible thing Eric Swalwell did. And his career is over. His public image is over. his family is over. He is paying a very steep, heavy, heavy price for taking part in the devil's playground and the delicate dainties that so are deceit. He is now paying a very, very, very dear price for it. The word of God says, pride goeth before destruction. What did he do before this happened to him? He got prideful. He started attacking President Trump. He started attacking others. Pride goes before destruction because pride is the announcer. Pride announces and opens the gate for destruction. You can't have destruction without pride. Pride goes out first. Pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a big fall. We have watched this scripture verse play out with Eric Swalwell. Pride went first, announced it, and now we're seeing the destruction and the big fall happen. A haughty spirit goes before a big fall. Now, we should, and I'm going to be very honest with you here, we should be praying for the salvation of Eric Swalwell and his family and his children. In the midst of this, because now he's exposed, his life is over, okay? He's paying the price for that. But what should we be doing? We should be praying for the salvation of this man. Somewhere, someone was praying for Saul of Tarsus. Somewhere, someone was interceding for that man before he entered Damascus. And on the road to Damascus, he has the encounter with Jesus Christ that changes his entire life. Saul was a liar. He was a murderer. He was a thief. He was the witness for the stoning of Stephen. He had blood on his hands. And somehow, somewhere, someone was praying for that man. And he had his road to Damascus conversion, and he became one of the greatest champions of the faith that ever lived. Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament that we read. He wrote most of it because someone was praying for him. Someone was interceding. And I think what we need to do is we need to pray and intercede for Eric Swalwell. Because as terrible as it was what this man did, and it is horrible, if the Lord can get to that man and turn him into a champion of a faith and fashion him as a weapon against the party that caused him to be wrapped in the debauchery that he was in, that is the justice system of Almighty God. That is God's justice system. If Almighty God can get this man to surrender, if he can get him to turn and truly repent, if he can fashion him as a weapon to now blow the whistle and expose the very serpents within his party that lured him in of his free will to take part in what is egregious to God, that is the justice system of Almighty God. That is how God serves justice. That is why Saul of Tarsus became Paul and became one of the greatest champions of the faith, because that came down from God's court as a ruling and exacted the wage upon the kingdom of darkness that was due for utilizing Saul of Tarsus to commit such atrocities against believers. And Eric Swalwell persecuted believers. He is a persecutor of believers. He is a persecutor of the Christian faith. He is a proponent of debauchery. He was singing the song of the serpent. He was taking part in the deception. But last time I checked, all men fall short of the glory of God. All men are sinners, and all men need Christ. And this man right now, with what he has done, needs Christ for the sake of himself and his children and his wife and his family. And the plan that God had for him, that he rebelliously became the prodigal son and went off that path and decided that he was going to take part in the delicacies of the world. And where did he end up? In the pig pen. He ended up in the pig pen, and he's a prodigal. He is a prodigal right now that has a decision to make. Eric Swalwell, you have a decision to make this very hour. Are you going to repent and come home to your father and your shepherd? Or are you going to stiffen your neck and allow Satan to sift you completely, far worse than has already happened? Eric Swalwell is an example of what's about to happen to so many in Congress. Now, I'll tell you, within this season of the sifting of Congress, we are going to see some Saul to Paul conversions that are going to be absolutely incredible. Incredible. We will prophetically watch that happen in Congress. And we will watch some that raise up in Korah's rebellion, that the earth is going to swallow them up. I'm telling you, it is that kind of season. Now, this is what we're going to do. We're going to pray. And we're going to pray for that entire situation right now with Eric Swalwell and what has happened. Because if you were him, you would want somebody interceding for you. Someone was interceding for Saul of Tarsus. You don't have to like somebody or agree with them or like anything they do to pray for them. In fact, we're called to pray for people we don't agree with. We're called to pray for people that we don't like what they're doing. Hate the sin, love the sinner. We can hate the sin. We can hate the filth. We can hate what he took part in. But we can show the love of God and pray and intercede right now that this man has a road to Damascus experience. And I don't think there's a whole lot of faith leaders out there saying this right now. And that's sad. Because when it comes to something like this, this is where you've got to bring the clarity back to the Word and what the Word says and what we're called to do, no matter what our flesh is screaming at us, what this man did, how he's triggering us because we were abused ourselves. You can't let those triggers dominate your thoughts. You can't let those triggers eclipse what the Word says. Because there's a lot of people being triggered by this right now that have gone through abuse, that have been assaulted, that have gone through some horrible things. But this is where deliverance and freedom through Christ breaks the bonds and the strongholds of that. So we're going to pray right now. We're going to pray for this entire situation. Because I'm telling you, this is just the beginning of what we are about to see in Congress. I am telling you, shock and awe, like lightning, is about to go through Congress and its heads. This is why it's so important in this hour that Speaker Johnson speaks up, that he understands if he remains silent, deliverance will arise from elsewhere. And he will lose his seat as well. This is his time. This is his hour to stand firmly on the word of God and speak up and speak boldly, knowing that Almighty God in heaven is ordaining this moment. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's pray. Let's pray. This is a good exercise for all of us because it's good to pray for people you don't agree with. You don't like what they did. You're even disgusted by what they did. You can't stand what they did. But you know what? Because they're a sinner and they need Christ and you were there at one point. You're still a sinner, but you may know Christ now. But you were there where you were a lost sinner in your filthy pig pen and you needed Christ. And somebody interceded for you. So let's pray. Okay. Father God, in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we come before you tonight, Lord. And Father, we praise you, Lord, that you are Almighty God. You are the righteous judge. You sit on the highest throne. We come boldly but humbly to the throne of grace, Father, saying your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Father, forgive us of every way we have sinned and fallen short. Father, we praise you. Your mercies are new every single day. Father, we just thank you for the immense sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross that died for our sins, that purchased us by the shedding of his blood. He was crucified between two thieves for a reason. He miraculously rose again. He defeated hell, death, and the grave, and he is ruling and reigning at your right hand forevermore, and we honor that today before your throne. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we bring this situation with Eric Swalwell and his family before you, Father God. Lord, we know that you can take a broken vessel and put it back on the potter's wheel, Father God, and restore it and repair it. We know that through Christ, we are new creations. The old has passed away. Father, we are asking tonight that the old man of Eric Swalwell that took part in this debauchery, this filth, what is not pleasing or acceptable to you, Father God, that took part basically in the playground of the devil himself, that tonight, Father God, that today he would repent, Father God, and turn from that and become a new creation in Christ, that he would have his road to Damascus conversion with his wife. Father, we intercede and pray because there are three innocent little girls in this, Father God, and we pray, Father God, that they may be raised up to be champions of the gospel, that they will know you, they will know your voice, hear your voice, and as strangers they will not follow, that the trauma and the pain of what their father has done will not put a snare in them that the enemy will utilize to bring them down a road of perdition, but that they will be delivered from such. And Father, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ today that Eric Swalwell turns from this road of perdition, that he turns from the destruction, that in his brokenness he repents, Father, and he turns back to you in this hour, that he does not continue to defile your name. He does not continue in the debauchery. He does not continue, Father God, in what is damnation. But he turns today, and he turns back to you, and he surrenders his life in all its broken shatteredness right now to you. Because you are our healer. You are our strong tower. You are the repairer of the breach. You are the repairer of broken down walls. And tonight, even though, Father God, he has done what is egregious and blasphemous to you, we are asking you for mercy that his soul may be saved. Let his soul in this, Father God, be saved. Let him realize he was deceived by the father of lies, the devil, his henchmen, and his agents. And let him see the party that he so defended for what it is. Take the scales off his eyes, Lord. Let those scales be removed. Let him see what the party that has offered him so much wealth has just done to him. Because his own party sent him up as a sacrifice. His own party sent him as the scapegoat to cover a multitude of other sins that are about to come out in this time, in this season. And Father, we intercede before you today that his wife will not go into bitterness, will not go into trauma, but will run to you, her Father in heaven. Surrender to you and find comfort and peace right now and healing in you, Lord, in your word, in Jesus Christ, in the fact he died for her sins, he died for Eric Swalwell's sins, he died for the sins of their children. That they would realize that in this hour, Father. That they would realize, Father God, that there is so much greater than what the world has offered them. The delicate dainties that are deceit, that there is so much greater. And it's you, Lord, and it's your kingdom, and it's Jesus Christ who truly saves, delivers, and set free. Let them see they were slaves to sin and slaves to the Democratic Party and slaves to the agenda of devils that in this hour are being judged and exposed by your court, Lord. You are the highest court. You are the highest authority. And the grace period has thinned for Congress. It has thinned. And in this hour, they have been found wanting. And now their kingdoms shall be divided. We are watching what was written on the wall that Daniel, your servant, stood before you and he read, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. It was Darius the Mede, the Persian, who carried out that judgment. As we're watching Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin in Iran, we are watching it begin to unfold in Congress. And Lord, we praise you that you are a God of truth and that you shine light onto the darkness and expel the darkness and expose what is hidden, Father God. Let these congressmen and women come to you before it's too late. Let them come to you before some of them are in prison by the midterms. Let them come to you now, Lord, and surrender. Let Eric Swalwell come to you. Let his wife come to you and surrender. Visit his children, Lord. Visit them, Father God. Send your holy angels, Father God, to comfort them in this time. They're innocent in this. Do not let the enemy claim legal rights to these children because of the sins of the father and the sins of the mother and the sins of the generations. But let that generational curse be broken tonight in the lives of his children and let them be given a better way, a more excellent way, and let an excellent spirit from you, Father God, come on them as judgment against the kingdom of darkness for what they have tried to do. We praise you, Lord. We thank you that we're coming together in agreement, Father God. If one could put 1,000 to flight, two could put 10,000 to flight. We praise you for that tonight, Father God. And we thank you that you are doing a work in this hour. And we praise you for it, Father God. We know none of us are perfect. We fall very short of your glory, Father God. And we need a Savior, and his name is Jesus Christ. Because none of us could ever stand before you in all of your holiness without literally coming in under the blood and under the garments of Christ and literally being snuck into heaven that way. We praise you tonight, Lord. We thank you. We give you all the glory for who you are, that you are merciful, you are slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness. And we praise you for that tonight, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And amen, Father. And Lord, too, the people that were drug into the web of Eric Swalwell and his associates, these women, whoever it was that was traumatized in this, Father, deliver them from the snare of the fowler in this hour and from the trauma and the pestilence and the bondage that it has caused them. Let the holy fire of God destroy it, deliver them, and set them free. And let them be, Father God, a voice for you to help set other women free, Father, who have been through such. We praise you and we thank you for tonight, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen and amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I felt that too. I felt that prayer the whole time. Going through the power of Almighty God. This, let me tell you something about the Lord. Motive matters to God. And where mercy is shown, mercy is given. I'm going to tell you, I have that in the back of my mind all the time. So much so that I have to rescue a bug out of the house and let them go outside. And I'm not even kidding you, because you're showing mercy. You're showing mercy to something that could never, ever do much for you, because we could never do much for God. And he shows us mercy. And where mercy is shown, mercy is given. And we have to remember that in this season. I'm going to give you an example of this very fast. What happened to Jim Baker happened. Who came out swinging at him? Who came out? Jimmy Swaggart. Jimmy Swaggart came out accusing and swinging at him and threatening him of being with women and doing all these things. And you know what happened to Jimmy Swaggart? He was caught not long after that doing the same exact things. This is why, where mercy is shown, mercy is given. And I'm just telling you, you have to remember that in the midst of this. I don't like what they're doing. It's detestable to God. They are being judged by God. This is why this is happening. The cup of iniquity has become full in Congress to the brim. And this is why they're being poured out in this hour. It is happening. And this is God's justice system. And the way God does justice is just a little different than the way the world does justice. And we are about to see God's justice system come in to Congress. We are watching God's justice system come into the nations of the earth. We are watching how God exacts justice. And it is biblical. God does raise up adversaries against leaders who have defied him, challenged him, blasphemed him. He does raise up adversaries against them to bring them down. That is biblical. We saw that with Iran. We are about to see that with nations in Europe. We're about to watch nations in Europe, those leaders, we are about to watch them fall. I'm telling you, France and Spain are two of them to watch in this hour. France, Spain, England are the ones to watch in this hour. So we see things from our very finite perspective in the flesh. And this is why we have the scripture in the word, in order to see things from God's perspective and to get a better perspective and a more excellent perspective than we have within ourselves after all we've been through in life and the trauma and the anger, right? And the angst and the abuse, right? And the sickness and the dysfunction and everything we've been through. We can put on a filter and we could filter what we're seeing through all of that. And we can't do that because we'll never get it right. We have to filter it through the word and through the perspective of Almighty God and Jesus Christ. And that is where we filter it through. And that's what we should do. That's what we should do. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. I have a special announcement, so please stay on. I need you to pray. Because I have been called down to Washington, D.C. And I'm not going to say until I get back why I've been called down to Washington, D.C. But I'm just going to ask you right now to pray, which means I will not be able to go to Arkansas to the Engage Ministries tent event in person, but I will be ministering from virtually. So I will come in virtually, and I still will minister, but because this suddenly happened on Friday, and I have been called down to Washington, D.C., I have to do that, and I just ask for your prayers right now. And I will explain when I get back. I'm going to be doing a live broadcast on Friday this week. So when I'm back, I will explain. But thank you ahead of time for your prayers. Thank you for your support. And I will be ministering virtually on Sunday to the Engage Ministries tent event. So I will be doing that. It's just a little bit too much for me to go down with Washington, D.C. It's a little too much for Chris, actually, to go down to D.C., be home for a day and have to put him on a plane and have to fly there. So basically, this happened. This is where I feel I need to be. And this is unfolding. So thank you for your prayers as we go down to D.C. So wanted to say that first and foremost. Secondly, the book Brace for Impact. It is available. Tomorrow, I believe they're going to start shipping them out. So you can go to Amazon, Charisma Media, Barnes & Noble, anywhere where books are sold. It is available for purchase and to order, and you'll probably get it within a few days. So if you go to arcofgrace.org, you'll see this image for Brace for Impact, and you can order the book from there. It goes all the way to 2028. It's a highly prophetic book. It talks about what's coming. It talks about what we're witnessing now as well. So because this book was written, it was written earlier last year. So Brace for Impact, 5 rare prophetic events that will trigger a spiritual tipping point. It is a bestseller on Amazon in the Pentecostal charismatic category. So we praise the Lord for that as well. We hit bestseller there. And so thank you for those who are ordering it, and you can get the book now and get it for your friends and family as well. Also, we're going to put up Andrew Sorcini. Andrew Sorcini of Beverly Hills Precious Metals. You can text him at 310-433-3524 or email him, right, at andrew@bh-pm.com. You can also go to arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners and click on BH-PM from there. Please tell him that we sent you, and please call him no matter where your price point is, because him and Clay and me put our heads together and we came up with some creative ways to help people that still want to get gold and silver. So no matter where your price point is at, please reach out to him, because we've come up with some really cool ways in order to help you still do that. Yes, there is a minimum, but he wants you to call anyway, because we have some side projects going to help all of you that still want to purchase gold and silver. And Andrew's team loves to talk to our Ark of Grace family, so reach out to Andrew today. And we're going to put up Grid Down Chowdown as well. This is Grid Down Chowdown. It is grass-fed, grass-finished, freeze-dried beef that has no nonsense in it that we are watching happen in the food industry. It lasts 10 to 15 years. You could just reconstitute it with water, and it is wonderful for you and for your pets. They actually have the grid-down chowdown jerky for your dog. So actual, like, snacks that are just grass-fed, grass-finished beef. That's all that's in it. If you want a healthy alternative to the pet snack industry and all the fillers that they're putting in those snacks, you can reach out to Grid Down Chowdown for that as well. They also make beef jerky for humans as well. That is quite tasty. So you could go to arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners. Find Grid Down Chowdown, and you can click on it there. Use promo code ARC for a discount. Okay. Thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight. Thank you to our moderators, our Ark of Grace team. Very appreciative for you being on. We will be back on live on Friday. I will be putting out shorts till then. I will have my equipment with me, so if something happens, we will be jumping on, of course. But we will be putting out shorts, and the live will be Friday, and we will be announcing that as well. So we always want to encourage you in the Word. We want you to armor up according to Ephesians chapter 6, Psalm 91. I encourage you to say it every single day. I encourage it every single day. Also, Psalm 123, 34, 35, 51. We want to encourage you in the Word. We want you to speak the Word. We want you to meditate on the Word. We want you to be in the Word daily. It is your soul food. It is living, active, transformative, and current for every generation. The Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6 as well. We also have Ephesians 1, 16 through 20 and 3, 14 through 19. I say that every night, actually, before bed. I encourage you to get in the habit of saying that as well as commanding your day, starting your day with the Lord and beginning to control the gate of the spiritual traffic that is attempting to come into your day. So we want to encourage you in that as well. So thank you, everyone. We hope you have a wonderful rest of your evening. Armor up according to Ephesians chapter 6 always, and we will be back on live on Friday. Keep the faith, everyone. God bless.